afternoon. Welcome to our weekly Halacha Shia. The Shia is dedicated to the IDF, to the police force, to all the other security agencies who are doing their best in their power to help and protect Am Yisrael. And of course we know that everything is through the immense help of Hashem, who is showing us miracles upon miracles of how all these missiles are being shot, and Baruch Hashem, nothing serious is happening. This year is also dedicated to all the people in Eretz Yisrael, especially those who are living down south, who for them life over the past couple of weeks has become intolerable. May Hashem give them strength, may Hashem give them emunah, may Hashem give them happiness, and Bezras Hashem, may this little skirmish, I don't exactly know what to call it, this little incident may be solved very quickly, because as we know, the best way to get rid of snakes is crush their heads. May Hashem Bezrat Hashem help us do it as quickly as we can with all the snakes that we have living down south, up north, and also around here in Eretz Yisrael. Before we start, we're just going to say the Nusach of Hareini Mekasher to connect ourselves to all the tzaddikim and to Rabbeinu. Hareini Mekasher et Atzmi בשיעור זה, לכל הצדיקים האמיתיים שבדורנו, ולכל הצדיקים האמיתיים שוכני אפר קדושים אשר בארץ המה, ובפרט רבינו הקדוש צדיק יסוד עולם, נחל נובע מקור חוכמה, רבינו נחמן בן שמחה ובן פגה, וזכותם יגן עלינו ועל כל ישראל. אמן. Considering the shiur that we gave last week about the fast of Shiva Asar Tammuz, unfortunately we did not merit and Mashiach didn't come yet, and therefore we had to fast, so we had to know the halachas of how to fast. We're continuing today, we're going to be giving Bezrat Hashem this week and next week the different halachas of Hilchos Yemei Ben HaMetzorim, how we're supposed to behave in this period of 3 weeks. Again, we are praying that this shir will only be halacha and it won't be practical, because Bezrat Hashem Mashiach is going to come already today, and this is going to become a time of great joy and happiness, of faith, of Torah, and Bezrat Hashem we shall be seeing miracles at any given moment. So again, we're learning these halachas. And this is the best way to learn Torah. We're learning Torah because this is what Hashem commanded us. And that we're not planning to do any of what I'm saying to, nothing of what I'm saying today, because Mashiach is coming. So Hilchos Ben HaMetzorim are going to be something archaic and historic, that you'll be able to tell your children that once upon a time there was such a reality where there wasn't a Beis HaMikdash. And it was a time of Avelis, and we had to do all these things to mourn the Beis HaMikdash. And your father and your son will say to you, "But Tati, there is a Beis HaMikdash. I don't understand." And you'll say to him, and you'll give him a big kiss on the head, and you'll say to him, "I'm so happy that you don't understand." So Bezras Hashem, all we're learning now is we're learning halachas that will not be practical whatsoever. This time is called Bein HaMetzorim. And it's called Bein HaMetzorim because the Pasuk says in Eicha, in the third chapter, "Kol rodfea hisigua Bein HaMetzorim," that all those who were pursuing and chasing after Am Yisrael, trying to hunt them down, they managed to obtain, unfortunately, their goals in this time, and it's called Bein HaMetzorim. Now, Bein HaMetzorim, the literal translation is it means between a narrow path. We know, for example, that the Torah tells us in Parshas Balak that when Bilam was riding his donkey, he was riding through a certain road that was built between two vineyards, and that road was built in such a way there was a wall from one side, a wall from the other side. It was very narrow. And when the donkey shifted to one side, she squashed his leg against one of the stones. So Bein HaMetzorim means a very narrow path. And the Mekubalim explain, why is this time considered to be such a narrow path? Because in the time of Bein HaMetzorim, which is between the 17th of Tammuz, where the walls of Yerushalayim were broken, where the siege actually managed, the first stage was accomplished, and the Romans managed to break through the walls, to Tisha B'Av, which was the day when they managed to burn down the Beis HaMikdash, that time is a time of great din. And we'll see there are many halachas referring to this time. This is a time where there are many things we should refrain from, because they're dangerous. So it is considered to be a time which is dangerous, a time which is considered to be also awkward from a spiritual point of view. There are many things that we should try very hard not to do in these 3 weeks, and things that we should try very much to do in these 3 weeks, because this is considered to be a time where our spiritual powers are limited. So that's why it's called Bein HaMetzorim, and that is the name that has been given by the Poskim. So today we're going to be learning all the different laws of Hilchos Bein HaMetzorim. When does the Avelus of Bein HaMetzorim start? There is a very, very big difference between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim when we refer to these laws. According to the Ashkenazim, it's not just Ashkenazim, it's also some of the Sfari Poiskim, like for example, Kafachayim, the Ben Ish Chai, the Mordechai Eliyahu, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. The time of Avelos of Ben HaMetzorim starts from Shivasa B'Tammuz, which means it already started. It started this Tuesday. We are now in the time of Ben HaMetzorim. There are many things we're not allowed to do. We're going to speak about them. We're going to elaborate about them as we progress in the this year. But for example, we're not allowed to have a haircut. We're not allowed to shave, those of us who shave. According to the Shulchan Aruch, and that is how Rav Avadia Yosef Zecher Tzadik Livracha paskens, the time of Ben HaMetzorim, even though it starts from Shivasa B'Tammuz, the major limitations only exist from Rosh Chodesh Av, which means in this time between the 17th of Tammuz to Rosh Chodesh Av, which is a period of about 2 weeks, you are allowed to have a haircut. You are also allowed to have a wedding. A Sfadi Bocha is allowed to have a wedding today, on Sunday, on Monday. We're going to discuss it. What happens if you have a Sfadi Yeshiva Bocha learning in your yeshiva and you're an Ashkenazi rabbi? Are you allowed to be the one who is actually going to do for him the Chuppah and Kiddushin? But according to Rav Avadia Yosef, according to the Shulchan Aruch, the time of Avelos of Ben HaMetzorim starts on Rosh Chodesh Av, but there are two exceptions. Exception number one, even according to the Shulchan Aruch and Rav Avadia Yosef, from Shivasa B'Tammuz, which means from this last Tuesday, you are not allowed to listen to music. Music is problematic. We're going to speak about that. We're going to continue as we progress in the Shul elaborator. Two, you're not allowed to have a haircut. Which means those two things, sorry, there's a third thing also, benching Shehecheyanu. One of the biggest problems we have in these 3 weeks is a bracha which is called Shehecheyanu. Shehecheyanu is a bracha when we make whenever we buy something new. For example, we have a new fruit that we haven't had over the past year. It's now the season. We bought something new for the house. Although, just to add, many people don't know this halacha, many things that you buy for the house, you're not even supposed to make a bracha of Shehecheyanu. You're supposed to make a bracha called Hatov Vehameitiv. You see, whenever you buy something that is good, not just for you, but it is also for other people, you make a bracha of Hatov Umeitiv. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Hatov Vehameitiv. We're thanking Hashem for giving something good, not just for me, but for others also. Example, I just now bought a new oven for my house. Now, an oven is an expensive thing. Whenever you buy a new oven, you aren't very happy about it. Now, who's normally more happy? You or your wife? Normally your wife. The better the oven is, the more free time you have to do. It's going to do something to learn. She can deal with the oven. You can do your things. But when you buy a new oven for the house, you don't bench Shehecheyanu. You bench Hatov Vehameitiv. Because the oven is not just for you. The oven is for everyone living in the house. When you buy something that is only good for you, then you bench Shehecheyanu. For example, you just now bought yourself a new hat. The hat is meant just for you. It's not meant for your wife. It's not meant for your children. And be careful with your hat. Keep it stored. Otherwise, your children will think it is meant for them. But otherwise, you bought the hat for yourself. When you buy something that is just for you, you bench Shehecheyanu. What's the problem of the bracha of Shehecheyanu? Listen to the words. When we say Shehecheyanu, we say, thank you Hashem for giving us the life and for enabling us to reach the stage of this happy and merry time. Say the poskim, there are certain times during the year where you can't bench Shehecheyanu. For example, a person who is an avelos, who has the chalila, parents passed away, a brother passed away, and is now sitting shiva. How can he say to Hashem, thank you Hashem for this wonderful, happy and merry time? For him this is not a happy or merry time at all. For him this is a time of sadness, a time of mourning. Say the poskim, it's the same thing. We have during the year two periods of times which are considered to be times of mourning. One of them is Sfiras HaOmer, where the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos on the 62nd page, second side, that we're mourning the death of 24,000, some say 48,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. And the second time is Ben HaMetzorim, between Yud Zayin of Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, when we're mourning the destruction of the temples. Now, during the times of the Sfira, according to most poskim, you are allowed to bench Shehecheyanu, because the mourning is not considered to be that severe. But during the times of Ben HaMetzorim, according to all poskim, you should not make the bracha of Shehecheyanu, unless there are certain stipulations, which we will discuss further on. But even according to Rav Avadia Yosef, those three things are things that you cannot do from Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. You are allowed to have a haircut, you are allowed to get married, you're not allowed to listen to music, you're not allowed to buy something new and make the bracha of Shehecheyanu, and the last thing is that you are not allowed during the time of Ben HaMetzorim, according to Rav Avadia Yosef, you're not also allowed haircuts, even though haircuts are allowed. You are not allowed, for example, to go into a new house, again, a bracha of Shehecheyanu. you are also not allowed, yes, to get married. Now, we did say that a Sfaradi Bracha is allowed to get married, and Ashkenazi is not allowed to get married. What do we do about a Rav? This is a Shaila that I get every single year. A Sfaradi Bracha is getting married. In Yeshiva here, Baruch Hashem, this is here Kibbutz Galuyot. We have here from all the different Edot, Sfaradim, Ashkenazim. Am I as an Ashkenazi Rav allowed to do the Chupan Kiddushin for him? What's the problem? If it was my son, he wouldn't be allowed to get married because he'd be an Ashkenazi. But the person who's getting married is a Sfaradi. According to Reb Shloimeh Zalman Auerbach, Reb Shloimeh Zalman Auerbach says that an Ashkenazi Rav should refrain from doing chuppah and kiddushin to a Sfaradi yeshiva bracha in the time ben hametzorim. It's the same thing also applies for a barber. Imagine if I am now the barber of the yeshiva. As an Ashkenazi, I myself am not allowed to have a haircut. Anyone who's an Ashkenazi is also not allowed to have a haircut. Am I allowed to give a haircut to a Sfaradi yeshiva bracha? According to Reb Shloimeh Zalman Auerbach, if you're an Ashkenazi barber, refrain from doing that. According to Rabbi Yoshev Zechel Tzadik Lebracha, no, there's no problem whatsoever. I'm not doing any issa. He's the one who's getting married. He's the one who wants to have a haircut. He is allowed, according to Halacha, to have a haircut or to get married. So therefore, I'm allowed to do his chuppah and kiddushin. I am also allowed to give him a haircut. There are certain minhagim that apply to these times of Ben HaMetzorim. The most common minhag is doing Tikkun Chatzot. Now, what is Tikkun Chatzot? Tikkun Chatzot is a special prayer that we say, according to Breslev and Hasidim, we're very makpid to say every single night at midnight. It is a special prayer that we say where we actually are it's a lamentation on the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and Jerusalem. There is a difference between what we say at night, what we say during the day. Normally, Tikkun Chatzot, all through the year, is only said at midnight. In the times of Ben HaMetzorim, the poskim say, you should say Tikkun Chatzot also after midday. But there's a difference. Tikkun Chatzot is combined of two different prayers combined together. One is called Tikkun Rochel, the other one is called Tikkun Leah. At night time, you say both of them. You say both Tikkun Rochel, both Tikkun Leah. We'll speak about what happens in the Shemitah yet. We're getting now to Shemitah soon. In Shemitah, you don't say both Tikkun Rochel, Tikkun Leah, you only say Tikkun Leah. Because Shemitah is considered to be something which is considered to be a special holy time, and therefore Tikkun Chatzot, the whole year round, changes. But during the morning, when we say on Ben HaMetzorim Tikkun Chatzot, we only say Tikkun Rochel. Now Tikkun Chatzot again is we're mourning, it is a lamentation on the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. There are certain halachas applying to how one should say Tikkun Chatzot. Halacha number one, one needs to sit on the ground, preferably near the door, as close as you can to the entrance of a room. Now, we are not allowed to sit directly on the ground because according to the Kabbalah, you don't sit directly on the ground even though we are wearing clothes. We've got to put something which will be a certain barrier, separation between us and the ground. You can take a tissue, you can take a handkerchief, you can take a small chair. Do not sit directly on the ground. This is, again, not for halachic reason, it is for a Kabbalic reason. Yes?
This is all your rest.
This is all year round. We are never allowed to sit on the ground for Kabbalic reasons. Even, for example, on Tisha B'Av, many times, for example, when the Rosh Yeshiva Shluti gives a shiur, I see people sitting directly here on the ground. It is a problem. Sitting on the ground is a Kabbalic problem. Again, it is not a halachic problem. It is a spiritual Kabbalic problem that you are not allowed to sit on the ground. Third rule, try and take off your shoes. When we are mourning based on Mikdash, we need to take off doing Tikkun Chatzot. We need to take off our shoes. Again, anyone who finds it difficult, some people find it difficult to take off their shoes. Some people find it difficult to sit on the ground or on a low chair. Those people don't have to be machmir. They can sit on a regular chair. It's the same thing that applies also to avelus. During a prayer, when in a person in a avelus, when chas v'chalila, a father or a mother or a brother or one of the relations that he needs to mourn passed away, one of the halachas of avelus is he needs to sit on the ground. That halacha only applies to someone who is healthy, who is young, who is able to sit on the ground, who doesn't have any back problems. Someone who is elderly, someone who finds it difficult to sit on the ground, someone who is even young with back problems can sit on a regular chair. Same thing with Tikkun Chatzot. Those who can should try to sit on a small chair, as low as they can possibly. This, for example, if you can see the chair here, is a bit too high, because a low chair, is something that should be under 24 centimeters. The distance between the actual chair and the seat where you're sitting and the ground should be under 24 centimeters, because that is the shear of Gimel Tfachim, according to Reb Chaim Noe, who I think this week is 60 years to his Ptira. Zchutu Yagen Aleinu Amen. So we said about Ikarni funerals. One, sitting on the ground near an entrance. Of course, putting something between you and the ground. Only saying Tikkun Rochel. Number two. Number three, taking off your shoes. Now, those minhagim also exist when we say Tikkun Chatzot at midnight. Those of you who get up to say Tikkun Chatzot at midnight, it is exactly the same thing. The Poskim say that even Talmidei Chachamim, who sit and learn every single day like all of you are, and Be'ezras Hashem, you grow to be even greater Talmidei Chachamim, need to say Tikkun Chatzot on the times of Ben HaMetzarim. Tikkun Chatzot is considered to be something which is so spiritually elevating, which is considered to be so spiritually powerful, that the Mishnah Brura paskens that Tikkun Chatzot is higher than even getting up davening nates. In other words, if you're debating, if I get up to say Tikkun Chatzot at midnight, I won't be able to daven nates. I'll have to daven regularly. Better to say Tikkun Chatzot. Again, the Poskim say, if you're now debating, if I get up to say Tikkun Chatzot, I won't be able to get up on the month of Elul, or between the first week of Rosh Hashanah to say Slichas. Get up and say Tikkun Chatzot. Tikkun Chatzot is more important than Slichas. Tikkun Chatzot is more important than davening nates. We spoke about marrying in these 3 weeks. As we said, according to the Ashkenazim and Kafahayim, Mordechai Eliyahu Paskan, that one should refrain from marrying in these 3 weeks. The honest truth is, here in Eretz Yisrael, you cannot get married between Rosh Chodesh Av unless you get a special permit. Why? The Rabbanut HaRashit Israel, in order to try and make the halachas accessible and practical to all the different Eidot and to all the different groups living in Eretz Yisrael, Tai tried to determine certain rules which would apply to everyone. One of those rules were is that between Yudzayin and Tammuz and Rosh Chodesh and Tisha B'Av, you cannot get married unless it is for a special reason given for a special permit. Even though Sfarim are allowed to get married, you will find that most Rabbonim will not do a chuppah in this time. More so, most halls are closed. So also finding a hall is a bit problematic. But halachically, a Sfaradi yeshiva bocher who wants to get married until Rosh Chodesh Av can get married according to Rav Ovadia Yosef. According to Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, should refrain. Ashkenazim, there's no question. Ashkenazim are not allowed to get married. Now, what do I do if I'm an Ashkenazi? And a friend of mine who is a Sfaradi yeshiva bocher just got married and invites me to come to his wedding. Am I allowed to go? I'm not allowed to get married in these 3 weeks. Can I go to his wedding? The answer is yes, you can go to his wedding. Because once you go to his wedding, this is considered to be his simcha. And you follow his simcha. We find this halacha in many different situations which people don't know it. For example, let's now just give an example of something that happens nearly every single week. Kiddush. Many of us, especially those who attend here yeshiva, we stay here for the shiur of the Rosh Hashiva, and the Rosh Hashiva makes Kiddush. Now we know that there are different minhagim in Kiddush, whether one should stand up or whether one should sit down. The halacha is that if you yourself are not making Kiddush, but you want to be yoytze with a brocha, that the person who is making Kiddush, you have to be in exactly the same position as he is. If he sits, you sit. If he stands, you stand. Because you are now following in his footsteps. He is the one making the bracha, and he is also making the bracha in such a way that you will not have to make the bracha, you're exempt of the bracha. So you have to follow his leadership. So it's the same thing with the wedding. If a Sfaradi yeshiva bocher is now getting married, I am following his leadership, I'm going to his simcha, to his chasana. As long as I'm at his simcha, there's no problem for me to dance, to sing, to attend everything. Of course, I myself am not allowed to get married in those times since I'm an Ashkenazi. Is one allowed to eat meat and drink wine during the 3 weeks? There are poskim who said that all through the 3 weeks, one should try and refrain from eating meat and drinking wine. Why? The Gemara says in Tractate Psochim, on the 109th page, first side, the Gemara says that meat and wine are things that make a person happy. They bring simcha to a person. That is why, halachically, on Yom Tov, where we have a mitzvah, the Torah says to us at the end of Parshas Re'eh, V'samachta b'chagecha v'hayita ach samech. We all know the song, V'samachta b'chagecha. We sing it every single Sukkot. That is a halacha. The Torah is now giving us a commandment. One of the mitzvahs is, we have to be happy on Yom Tov. The Sefer HaChinuch brings it in the 488th mitzvah, Taf Pei Chet. It is a mitzvah from Doraisa to be happy on Yom Tov. Since it's a mitzvah of Doraisa, the Gemara paskens, you have to eat meat and drink wine on Yom Tov, because that gives you simcha, it gives you happiness. Unless for dietary reasons, you can't eat meat or drink wine, or unless you do not like meat or wine, and then you're exempt from doing this mitzvah. The Shulchan Aruch here, this is a halacha. In Orech Chaim, in the 529th chapter, Taf Kuf Taf Tet, the Shulchan Aruch paskened, one has to eat meat and drink wine every single Yom Tov. So we can see that meat and wine are things that bring joy to a person, they bring simcha to a person. Therefore, many poskim said a person should try and refrain from eating meat and drinking wine during the 3 weeks. But that is a chumrah. The din is that we do not eat meat or drink wine from Rosh Chodesh Av. Now here there's also a difference between Ashkenazim and Sfarim. In other words, we refrain from eating meat and drinking wine only for 9 days, not for 3 weeks. According to the Ashkenazim, you're not allowed to eat meat or drink wine also on Rosh Chodesh, even though Rosh Chodesh is considered to be a special day. The Gemara in Tractate Moed Katan, on the 18th page, certain size says that Rosh Chodesh is considered to be a Yom Tov. And we know the Shulchan Aruch paskens in the 419th chapter, Taf Yutet, one should have a special Seudah on Rosh Chodesh. Even though Rosh Chodesh is considered to be a very special, joyous, and merry day, nevertheless, Ashkenazim do not eat meat and drink wine also on Rosh Chodesh itself. Sfarim, on the other hand, can eat meat and drink wine on Rosh Chodesh. For them, refraining from eating meat and drinking wine only starts when Rosh Chodesh is over, which means only at nighttime, the night after Rosh Chodesh. So that's one of the other differences between Sfarim and Ashkenazim, with the halachas referring to the 3 weeks. Having a haircut and shaving. We said that Ashkenazim Paskan that you are not allowed to have a haircut or to shave during the 3 weeks. We should also know the Ari, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the Arizal, who was considered to be, he lived in the generation of the Shulchan Aruch, and he was considered to be in his time, and even today till our times, the greatest Mekubal, who most of the Kabbalah today is according to his Shita. The Ari also said you are not allowed to have a haircut on your Zayin B'Tammuz, and therefore, all the Sfari Poiskim that combine the psika using also things written in Kabbalah, for example, like Kafahayim, the Benish Chai, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, Paskan, a Sfari is not allowed to have a haircut on from Shivasa B'Tammuz in the 3 weeks. The Mishnah Brura Paskan, in Siman Taf Kuf Nun Aleph, there's no difference between men and women. Women are also not allowed to have a haircut in the 3 weeks, unless a woman wants to have a haircut for tznius reasons. In other words, she normally has her hair at a certain length, and with that length, she's able to cover her hair with a tichel completely. But if her hair is a bit too long or a bit too short, some of her hair will come out of the tichel. It won't be very tzniastic, because a married woman is supposed to cover her hair. If she's having a haircut for those reasons, she's not having a haircut because the hair is bothering her or because she wants to look nicer, if she's having a haircut for tznius reasons, she's allowed to have a haircut also on the 3 weeks. Why? Because that is considered to be a dvar mitzvah. She is doing something which is a commandment of the Torah. The Torah commands us to be tznuim. Now, by the way, the halachas of tznius, as we know, apply both to men and to women. Many people think there's a mistake that tznius applies only to women. It does not. Tznius applies also to men. I'll give, for example, one example. I've been asked this question several times. A man is not allowed to wear very tight trousers. Today, the style that's come into it is becoming style, these tight black trousers. A person is not allowed to wear those trousers halachically. They're not tzniyastic. Tzniyast applies to men exactly as it applies to women. And their halachas exactly, they refer to men, and halachas they refer to women. Maybe Bezos Hashem one day will speak about all the halachas of tzniyast that refer to men, because there are many of them, but people don't know them. Let's give a few examples, and with that we will end our shiur, because I can see we're reaching our last 2 minutes, of certain situations where the poskim say you are allowed to have a haircut in the 3 weeks, even if it's your minag not normally to have a haircut. Number one, a person who lives abroad, and he works with non-Jews, and he works in such a place where he cannot come without a haircut or without a shave. A very common example, a person who is a lawyer, let's say for example in America. As a lawyer, supposed to look respectable, coming to court unshaven could be considered to be as an offense to the court. Now, I know that in America, unlike other countries, Americans are very aware of Jewish religion, and many judges, once they're told that it's done for a religious reason, they'll have no problem with that. On the contrary, they'll respect it. I read once a beautiful article that interviewed Senator Joseph Lieberman. And Joseph Lieberman is a senator who is Shomer Shabbos, who's Makbid on Kashrus, and he even said that one day Al Gore was his Goyishul Shabbos. And he said that he managed to do a great Kiddush Hashem. Now, it never stopped him from doing what he was obligated to do, but if he had to come to a special event or to a special vote in the Senate, he simply walked on Shabbos. And he made sure not to use any electronic devices. But it was a great Kiddush Hashem, that article, saying how Americans are so tolerant and are so accommodating to the Jewish religion, which was a very, very nice article to read. But a person who lives abroad and his panosa is among non-Jews who will be offended, or it might affect his panosa if he comes unshaven without a haircut, is allowed to have a haircut, is allowed to shave. A person who is now dating. Say the poskim, if you are dating and you are a woman, this heter is not for men, it is a heter for women. We know that for women, the way their hair is cut and styled is much more important than it is for a man. A woman who is going out on a date, and she feels that if she does not have a haircut, this might disturb, this might offend, this might cause an unmatch between her and her and the boy that she's meeting, she is allowed to have a haircut. Why? Because according to many poskim, even though we don't pass the Mishnah Halacha, we did say the Mishnah Berurah said that the issa of having a haircut on 3 weeks applies both to men and to women. But not all poskim agree to that. The Rif and the Rambam say that women are allowed to have a haircut even during the Avelus. Even a woman who's sitting Shiva on her father is allowed to have a haircut according to the Rif and the Rambam. True, we don't pass them that way, but in a situation where we need to be more lenient, for example, she's going out and she wants to have a haircut because the hair is messy and untidy, she's allowed to have a haircut. Third reason, a person who has got very long hair is a halachic problem, it's called the chatzitza between the tefillin. You can't have a very long hair. You can see sometimes the people, they come, they have, what are they called, very good name for them, you know, the dreadlocks, a wonderful name. They're really dreadful. But those people who have dreadlocks, it is a halachic problem. Because the dreadlocks, there is a certain barrier between the tefillin and your head. And according to many poskim, a person who has dreadlocks and he puts the tefillin on his head, he didn't do the mitzvah of putting on tefillin. There's too much hair. So a person who has too much hair and he wants to have a haircut for the purpose of doing the mitzvah of putting on tefillin every day properly, is allowed to have a haircut. The fourth reason, a person who has facial hair, which he finds disturbing, which is something that bothers him, is also allowed to shave. Fifth reason, a child who is now reached 3 years old, chalaka. Big debate among the poskim, a child who has become, let's say he becomes 3 years old, and the date is Kafdala Tammuz, which is the next coming Tuesday. Is he allowed to have a haircut or not? According to some poskim, the Tzan's closer Bogi Rebbe Zecher Tzadik Livracha, his yahrzeit, 30 years, was last week. According to Tzan's closest book, the Rebbe, the Shefer Chaim, yes, even on Ben HaMitzorim, he will have a haircut, because for him, this is not a standard haircut, it's a haircut of a mitzvah. According to most other poskim, no, don't have a haircut, push it off till after Asiri B'Av, after the 10th of Av. And the last thing is a bris milah. People who are having a bris, a father, all those who are considered to be part of the bris, for example, the father of the newborn child, the godfather, the sandak, and the moihel are all allowed to have a haircut on the 3 weeks, even though normally they would not have a haircut. We're now going to finish this year. We actually only managed to learn a small portion of Hilchos Ben HaMetzorim. With the help of Hashem, we will not continue this year next week, because next week we will all be going together to Beis HaMikdash, to learning how Beis HaMikdash looked and how it was built, and hearing a great shir from Mashiach, who will be giving a shir to everyone in Am Yisrael. If we don't have that schut, then we will meet here, unfortunately. I'm happy to see you, but I'm saying unfortunately, we will have to meet here again next week and again learn the halachas of Ben Amitzori. Good afternoon.
Thank you. Rabbi Shai is going to speak right now, Parsha Shavua. Quick announcements. Thank you very much, Rabbi, for your share.